Hey, flippers and mumbers, welcome to the Flips and Mumps podcast, a podcast about two guys trying to make some money, the flips that make them that money, and the bumps in the road they face along the way. Do you want to get a hold of this podcast? Well, you know how to do it. Yeah, email us, flipsandbumpspodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're following us on Instagram @flipsandbumps. Most importantly, just listen to this show. We drop new episodes every single Monday morning at flipsandbumps.com or wherever you get your podcast from, which also includes YouTube for all you YouTubers out there. Go over to youtube.com or on your app or however you get to YouTube, write them a letter. I don't really know, but search Flips and Mums Podcast. Our podcast pops up and you subscribe. That's how we do things around here. There are two of us on this show. I'm your host. My name is Sasha, and I am joined this week by my dear friend, the video game whisperer and the whole flipping show. It's Pee-wee.
The man who's in a rush to get this show over with so I can get some real work done. What's going on?
Not too much. Not too much. I'm the man who's going to take my time answering questions.
I'm sure that'll improve my mood. How are you?
How you doing, Pee-wee? Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Oh, happy Mother's Day. Indeed. Indeed.
The Knicks got destroyed today, so I'm in a bad mood as well.
Are they out or are they still in?
No, they're not. It's not looking good, but it's 2-2 and a best of 7 right now. You knew that. Okay. You were just testing me because you're Mr. Basketball.
Of course.
However, they're super injured, and it's not looking good for them. But it's okay. We'll get over it. It's been a fun season.
Already calling it quits.
Everyone had a good time.
This does not sound like giving 110%.
Well, luckily, I don't play for the Knicks. Because I would be, headed to Cancun, and they'd be like, we have a game later this week. So, how you been, Pee-wee? You living large?
Oh, yeah, living very large. I spent most of my day today on Mother's Day in the basement of a toy store digging, which, I mean, sounds awesome for me, but, like, I'm digging through toys and boxes and whatever, and I'm with my son, I'm with a friend, I'm with his kid, and our wives are sitting in the car waiting for us to finish. The whole time I'm just like, hey boys, happy Mother's Day. What's it gonna be like when we're both divorced and have to move in together?
Fantastic, and I might join you guys as well.
There, you want in? Okay,
I'm in.
That's fair. I've had a stressful day, not because of that, but like I've got other work I need to attend to. Some, like, my mind is all over the place. I was gone all weekend. I was gone Friday, Saturday, and I didn't get back till this afternoon. So I barely garage sailed. I garage sailed a little bit on Friday, and it was pouring on Thursday, so I couldn't even go then.
I got some interesting stuff this week. Surprisingly, I don't think anything new that I've never talked about or whatever, but some interesting stories and stuff for GST. I guess before we start the show, I did want to mention to you, there's no reason to say this on the podcast, I guess, but, this is just how we do things. I made a clip for this show. I made it a reel.
Oh, wow. News to me, guys.
Yeah.
Is it up already?
No. And here's the thing. It's rough. It's not the greatest thing in the world. I'm going to send it to you after this.
Okay.
But after doing this, I realized it's 2 minutes long. And then I found out it can only be like 60 seconds long or something for YouTube and 90 seconds for Instagram. I don't know. It's a whole new world for me.
Okay.
So I created this clip and I was going to send it to you. And I'm just kind of remembering right now. I'm going to send that to you and just ask you what you think about it. But Mr. Clips, that's me. I'm going to start making clips for this show. And boom, rocket ship to the top, Pee-wee. Boom.
Bingo slash mountain, right.
There it is. Did you say slash mountain?
I also said bingo.
This show is starting off great, so let's get this thing going. I am on the clock, and what that means is I get to talk about whatever I feel like talking about in the flipping, reselling, thrifting world. And when I am done, Pee-wee will have his opportunity to do so himself, or he can just veto it. He could just say, I don't like this stupid segment.
I got a handful of things today.
I got some things. I got some quick things I want to say, but you know how that goes, Pee-wee. First things first, Whatnot. We haven't talked about Whatnot in a while, but I did get an update on Whatnot.
You're back?
No, definitely not. However, you are now able to pick up stuff that you buy on Whatnot, or if you are a seller, there's a pickup option. Okay. This is just something new. I don't know too much about it past that, but it was not available before, and now it is something that they do. Okay. It's like a, you know, like local pickup only or whatever. Yeah. Didn't think it was anything, you know, major worth talking about, but because we do try to cover some other stuff here and there, and I have used Whatnot in the past and may use it again. I did download it recently. Let's which go. You know what that means. I'm going to start buying cards again, Pee-wee. That's what that means. But yeah, we'll see. I just thought it was an interesting little nugget. Next up, I have something that we've talked about this show many times over, and I got another update from it. From our good friends over at Goodwill to clear up some stuff that we've talked about in the past. I remember the last time we talked about this, we were like, how is it? Is it like this? Is it like that? You'll see what I'm talking about here in a second. Okay. Basically, Club Goodwill Rewards is now called Goodwill Perks Plus.
Really?
Did you get this email?
Maybe. I mean, I didn't read it if I did.
I read it, and I left it on my phone until right now.
Okay.
It's been 3 days. It's just been sitting there open. And here's what they say. They say, get ready to take your shopping to the next level with our new and improved loyalty rewards program, Goodwill Perks Plus. Now, you know, Pee-wee, I love me some Goodwill rewards because for whatever reason, I'm getting millions of dollars.
It's the only thing you do right in the world of flipping.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know what it is, but I accept. And it seems like it might get a little bit better for me here down the road. It says earn points faster with our new three-tiered program. Ooh. So they are changing things up a little bit. They have the silver tier. They say this is the starting tier for everyone. You'll earn 1 point for every dollar that you spend.
Okay.
For their gold tier, once you've spent $100, you level up to gold. And in this tier, every dollar you spend earns you 1.25 points.
Great.
We're moving on up. Then there's Platinum, and you know this is me. This is Mr. Platinum.
Mr. Platinum, right.
Reach Platinum status by spending $500 within a rolling 12-month period.
Oh,
I'll get that easily.
Yeah, yeah, I'll get that, and I don't shop that much at Goodwill.
I'll get that on accident. I'll get that because Boost Mobile uses my card to purchase
Goodwill. Oh,
here
we go. No Boost Mobile update this week?
No, I do. It's the next second. But I promise you it's not going to be a 12-minute segment. So, but anyway, reach Platinum status by spending $500 within a rolling 12 months. And in this top tier, every dollar that you spend will earn you 1.5 points. But wait, there's more. You earn $5 for every 100 points that you receive, right?
Okay.
So I don't know if that's up, down, whatever it is. Special discount for seniors.
If you're... So 100 divided by 1.5 is $66. It's better. It used to be, back in the day, it was $75, got you $5.
But what is it? So it's...
If you're platinum, it's $66.66.
And if not, that's 100 until it is exactly... What's 1.25? Oh, this is not
gonna
the
be,
right show.
It's, yeah. It's going to be somewhere in the middle. 100 divided by 1.25 is 80.
So if you're in the basic tier, you have to spend $100 to get 100 points, which will get you $5 off.
Right.
So you want to spend more money, or they want you to spend more money. Obviously, this is
I
good
guess,
if you...
But like the right now, it's 100 points flat. Or at least as before this program. I don't know if the program's active right now, but like the back in the day, it was 75 points. Then they upped it to 100.
Gotcha.
To get the $5.
Okay.
And now it's... The worst tier is 100, then the middle tier is $80 you have to spend, and then the best tier you only spend 66.
So then basically this is good for people who spend money already at Goodwill. Yeah. So resellers are getting a little bit of an advantage here. It says with our new rewards program, points will be available in your account 24 hours after purchase. Now here's the other thing that they throw in there. 25% discount on 3 transactions during your birthday month.
Yeah, we do that one.
Yeah, that was the one that I think we talked about last time and then stumbled over calculations of points as we did this time as well. Next up, I do have a Boost Mobile. It's not an update. It's not an update. I'm not going back into it. You guys know my stance.
Boost Mobile?
We are sponsored. Guys, let me tell you
how great it is.
D Do you want a lack of service? Do you want them to blame you for everything, even though it's their fault? Boost Mobile.
Do you feel like your phone company is too nice and too understanding?
What's your theory on arson? Boost Mobile. I was my attorney, Useless Dave, the best environmental lawyer. Don't get a DUI in a rainforest. But if you do, Dave's there for you. He told me, he said, stop telling people you're going to commit arson on a podcast. Arson's not a good idea. But I said
like
it to their face
as well.
This
show.
I said it to their face first. So that should count for something more. Anyway.
I don't think he's worried about the threat not being legitimate. It sounds like he's worried about it being recorded.
Look, that's neither here nor there. And by the way, I said it's still it's like a 50-50. If it happens.
Right.
If it happens, it's going to be awesome. But I'll cheer it on for sure. I don't think there's any legalities against cheering for arson.
No. But here's the problem.
So many inside jokes that me and you have about cheering.
Every time the word comes out of your mouth. The problem is, if somebody was on the fence about doing something to a Boost Mobile store in our area and listens to the show, they now have an easy way to get away with it clean because no one's going to suspect anyone but you from doing it.
Yeah, but you know what? The police will come after me. I'll tell them I didn't do it. And now a listener of our show gets a free arson. One free arson, minimum.
What does that mean?
I mean, like, they're not the suspect, because I'm clearly the suspect. But my hands are clean. Unless they aren't. That's the other
part of
it.
You've admitted to it on the show.
No, I said come to me first, and I will tell you whether I did it or not. I didn't say I'm doing it. I didn't say that in public either.
I believe you said that there's a 50-50 chance it was you.
Yes. That's why I said, come to me. I'll let you know. If I did it, I did it. I'm going to go to jail.
That's
but
fair.
If I didn't do it, I don't want to go to jail for our listeners. I love you guys, but I have a dog. Like, I
don't even like talking about your flips on here. There's no way I'm going to jail for you.
Yeah. Well, I got problems, Pee-wee. Anyway, we got our dear friend John, you know him, plus one goofballs.
Oh, yeah,
he actually chimed in about my arson here. He said, it reminds me of my dad. He bought a lawnmower from Sears one time, and the lawnmower was messed up. So we brought it in to get it fixed, and they said that there was nothing that they could do about it. And he said, nothing? Then keep it. They asked, what are we supposed to do with it? And he said, that's not my problem. And he left a dirty lawnmower inside of Sears. To which I responded, now I have something I could do with Boost. I'm going to go leave my lawnmower at Boost.
Please do. Tell them you're having problems with it connecting to your internet. And then when they cannot help you, just leave it.
Thank you for the message, John. We love you. We miss you. John's old school. John is an old school listener.
Yeah, I will suggest you do remove the gasoline from the lawnmower before you bring it in there. The moment you start bringing flammable stuff into a Boost Mobile, you're way too close to being accused of doing something that you don't want to be accused of.
If I leave all the things necessary for an arson next to a Boost Mobile, but I let somebody else figure out what to do
together.
With it. Yeah. How responsible am I? Dave, please chime in. I need your help on that one.
When this podcast is heavily edited on Tuesday, after it's out for 24 hours, you have Useless Dave to blame for that.
Next up, we have a message from Julia. Julia chimes in. She says, hi, Sasha and Pee-wee.
Hi.
I am just curious, do you have any tips for searching eBay sold comps on items? For instance, apart from filtering by sold, do you ever take into consideration shipping cost, people were willing to pay when pricing your items, if you know you can offer cheaper or free shipping yourselves? There's kind of a couple different ways to go with this thing. Like, if you know the free shipping... Here's the two things that I think you need to know about the solds, right? You have to worry about your pricing, and then you have to worry about the supply and demand aspect of it. That's what you're looking at when you're looking at sold comps. If I'm selling something, the first thing when I type in my product is how many of my exact product are there, right? Is there one? Is there five? Is there 6,000?
Are you counting them, or are you going off of the number that pops up when it talks about the search results?
First, when I'm going through quickly, I will just see with search results, and I try to be as detailed as I can when I'm doing it to see, you know, if there's a an item number I can look up, I'll look it up by that. But there's also many different things that you need to look at. Just because you use an item number doesn't mean that everything is that item number. It could be a part of that item number. It could be that item number with additional items thrown in. There's all sorts of
things. Also, if you get too specific, including just using the item number, you're leaving out the sold listings that don't include the item number.
Exactly, which is another thing about scanning with a UPC. If you're scanning with UPC, the people who have not put the UPC in there, you don't see those listings, so right. You generally see less than them. So what first thing I do is, like, I'll look the item, and then you kind of scroll through, but if it says 200 items and I'm kind of going through and I'm seeing, okay, a lot of these are, you know, this is a plethora of items here, then I'll take a look at the sold comps and I'll see it. Now, if there's 200 items that are like exactly like mine, I really want there to be a lot more of that number sold. That's what you're looking for more. 300 sold, 400 sold, whatever it is. If it's an item that is that readily available. If you're typing in your item and there's only 10 of those items listed and only one has sold, where are you at on that, Pee-wee? I mean, it's a
tougher...
Depends
on the value.
It's a tougher thing. You know you're going to be waiting longer.
If it's a $20 item, I'm skipping it. If it's an $80 item, I'll get it.
Yeah, because you can wait for it. You can also play the low price game if there's enough money in there for you. If you found a $5 thing, there's room to play. There's also, just because something doesn't show up on a sold comp doesn't mean that it won't sell on eBay. There's plenty of items that just they haven't been on eBay, or for whatever reason somebody has it too expensive, or whatever the reason may be. So you really have to do your research any way you look at it. But the pricing is really the, I don't know, I don't want to say it's the second thing I look at. I think they go hand in hand. You know, you want to know what's selling, how much of it is selling. If you have an item you type in, five of them show up, but you have 20 items that have sold in the last 90 days, that exact item, you're in good shape, right? That means a lot of people want that item and there's only a handful available. That's a great thing. But also you want to be taking a look at the price while you're doing that, because you're going to be paying a specific amount. And you want to take a look and see how much is going to be left after you sell a price and where you're going to price it and all that kind of stuff. I do take into consideration shipping, especially on heavier items. I don't really...
Only on heavier items?
Lighter items used to be kind of like you can just add a little bit for free shipping. You know what I mean?
Right.
But heavier items, when when shipping is involved, I get a little bit more concerned with how much total money people are willing to spend on the item. So if I find I found an item this week. It was probably like, let's say, 20 inches by 2 inches by 8 inches. But it weighed less than a... Let's say it weighed a pound. This was a model ship, the USS Cleveland or whatever it was.
Okay.
And I was taking a look at the sold comps, and there were plenty of sold comps, but they were selling for basically $11 plus $15 shipping, or $15 plus $10 shipping, or $25 free shipping. So when I'm looking at that, I'm going, all right, generally people are willing to spend around $30 maximum on this item.
That's the way you do it. That's...
Yeah.
The way on, well, but the heavier you get, the more susceptible you are to people like overestimating, underestimating, and the variables on the weight being different once you finally pack yours up, because everybody packs their stuff differently, right?
Yeah.
Versus a lighter item, all my action figures and video games, they all fit into a 9x6x4 box with 4 sheets of masking paper padding. It's 100% of my items that fit into a 9x6x4, like, weigh the exact same amount. If you take out the item, the box and the padding weighs the exact same.
And the most you're paying is like $8 to go to.
Right. But I'm just saying, to figure out the price for it, I would go to the sold listings. I would look at, let's say there's, you know, some are selling for $20 free shipping, other are selling for $15 plus $5 shipping. Like, they're all at $20. They're all my stuff is going to be in the same range when you add up the shipping into the base price. But with heavier items, I think you're right. It's something I wouldn't have ever even thought of, but I think you're right. You do need to be more cautious about that.
Yeah, you want to be as close as you can, because the heavier items range way more. You can go from an $8 to a $17 very, very quickly.
Yeah. And that's the reason that I pre-box almost anything that's big. And by pre-box, I just mean as I take my pictures, I go to my weigh station, I put it into a box, I weigh it. I fully pack it and put the padding in there. I tape, you know, I completely seal it shut with tape. And then I label it on the outside what it is, how much it weighs, what's the size of the box. And then I input all that into the listing. That way it's ready to go and there's no guesswork. Like, you know exactly what the shipping is going to be.
You tape everything shut too?
Tape everything shut.
How often do you get the thing where you have to open it back up and you're like, yeah, I did all the work?
Not often.
Yeah. Not enough big for stuff. You to
just
stop
because I think ahead of that. Like, okay, yeah. They might ask for pictures of this or close-up pictures of this. They might want to know if it's tested. Like, okay, so on the stuff that I think needs to be tested, I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Versus smaller stuff, I will not. Like, if you want pictures of, like, a close-up of a Bratz-style face, I don't need to do that in the listing. I could, but I don't always have to do that because the item's already open.
There's one interesting shipping price situation that I think me and you are on the same wavelength, and that's, like, international shipping. When you see something that a Love shirt it. Has been purchased for $20 and then they paid $40 in shipping from Germany. How do you deal with that as opposed to...
In terms of, like, gauging that, am I using that in my sold listing, in my research to figure out how much something's worth when I'm looking at sold listings? I skip over all international sales.
Everything, every time, right?
Yep.
With you, and I don't know if that's the correct way to do it, but it gives me, like, a weird... I don't think it's an accurate way to do it. I'm not saying that it's 100% you shouldn't do it that way. Maybe there is a decent chance of figuring something out with that. But when you see that price versus something that's sold, you know, in America, and there's a $40 difference, and you're like, I don't really know about this. Yeah, I'm with you. I just kind of, like, leave it out and then do my research based on the other stuff. Do you like toggle it off so you don't see international stuff at all?
Oh, no, I don't even know you can do that.
Oh, okay. That probably should. I might be giving eBay free ideas here.
Oh, you don't even know if they can do it.
Free ideas brought to you by Boost Mobile, our newest sponsor. Boost Mobile, we're on fire. Anyway, Julia, I hope that helped out a little bit. There's also another thing to take into consideration is, I guess as a last thing to your question, is seasons. Because there are things that don't sell for many, many months out of the year. And if you're looking at the wrong time, you don't see that these are items that sell. You know, Christmas items or Halloween items. They do, you know, occasionally sell. Some can sell because people want to buy them when they're cheap. But maybe they don't sell as much as they do when Christmas is coming up or when Halloween is coming up or when whatever. Insert, you know, baseball season is starting. People are looking for the new baseball hat that they want to wear. Whatever it is. That's another thing to take into consideration when doing research on items. And eBay does now offer, I'm not very familiar with it, but it's like up to 3 years worth of research that you can look back and see items that are selling. So if you can see an item that has sold, you know, every year in the spring it is selling consistently, but the rest of the year it's
That's
not.
Interesting.
You might be more willing to take a chance on something like that. And then last but not least for my time here, something new for the show. I know nobody's been asking for this, which is why I did it.
Oh, no.
Now, if you go wherever you get our podcast from, whether it's on Podcast Addict or iTunes or wherever it is, if you click on our episode to get to the description, at the top of the description, you should see something that says "Send us a text message," and you can
Dear
click.
God, what have you
on,
done?
You can click on "Send us a text message," and it'll pop up immediately in your phone, and you can send us a text message directly from your phone. Now,
when you say us,
I've signed you up at Boost Mobile's Hot Fire Special. No, it actually, me and Pee Wee do not get these messages. We will not be awoken by buzzing. It's going to be okay for us, Pee Wee. But it's a very easy way for you to contact. If you're listening to the show and you're like, these idiots, how do they not know this? You could just like quickly text us on there. We don't get your information. You don't have to sign up for anything. We do get, I think, the last four digits of your phone number. So if you don't want to give that up, that's fine or whatever. But I think it says like the area where you're from. So if you want to text us anything, go ahead and text us, and we check it the same way we check emails. Like, it'll just pop up on our whatever.
That's interesting. Is there a number that we can provide to them? Maybe not now, but at a later date.
I have a number, but I don't really know if this is how that works. Should I give out this number? Because it's not ours.
Yeah, I'll text it right now.
Okay, 904 867 4466.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Where does this go?
It goes to where we check our podcast information, where I, you know, upload the podcast and all that stuff.
Okay, see if you got anything. Eventually. I mean, you don't got to check it right now. But
no, I'm checking right now. We're doing this live. What's our password? Can you spell out our password?
S?
No. Stop. It's just the letter S.
Was that right? What's that right?
I don't know. I know that's the old one.
Okay. I would have kept going until you told me to stop.
I mean, what's it going to do?
It's right. That was my thinking as well. Unless the Boost Mobile gods are listening.
I did not get anything from that.
Flawless system, guys. Text us right now.
Here's why I think it didn't work. When you hit the send a button, that's the number that it goes to. But there's also a little like 7-digit number that it says do not remove. So you have to like send your message after that thing. Don't remove that number, and it comes to us directly. So anyway, if you feel like sending us a message, go ahead. Let's see how this goes. Pretty soon, voicemail.
Let's see who can get it first.
That's it for me, Pee Wee. You are on the clock.
Okay. Guys, I've had a rough week. I don't have much. I want to talk about something that I thought was interesting. I've been in the process of processing. Yeah, in the process of processing that big toy haul that I got and saved for Connor's birthday. And it was like a big chest of toys and a bunch of like smaller chests. It had a lot of like, the bigger pieces are easier to pick out and to research, and like some of it I know that are like the Street Sharks I know are worth money. The Ninja Turtles were easier to sort out. But in the bottom of a lot of those were like a bunch of like cars and micro machines and like broken parts and a handful of accessories and then like random pieces that I don't know what they go to. So I'm slowly going through those bins and like trying to figure out like what exactly I have and if I can use any of these smaller pieces. At the same time, I'm listing some of the stuff that I have pulled out. One of the things I listed was, and this actually, I'm going to get more money than I thought I would get for this thing. This is a Navy SEAL Michelangelo. This is a rarer figure, I'm assuming, because I've never seen it before picking it up in this lot. It has, it's just a Michelangelo with like a scuba mask on, but they say it's a Navy SEAL. He does have like this little hook thing on his front chest. It's supposed to attach to the belt, but the belt isn't there. I don't have the belt. But the original, I think when I said I had this figure, I said it was worth like, I may have even said like $15 or $20, but at most I said it was worth $30. The more I researched it, in this condition, with that little thing on the hip, I listed this thing for $63.99, free shipping. So, which is great. I only paid, I think, $130 total for everything. So if I can get half my money back just from this one figure, that'd be great. But as I'm going through my the bins, I came across one of the pieces. Because I listed this guy first. So now I'm listing this thing. And I'm trying to do research on eBay and figure out like what's a good price for him. And while I'm doing that, I'm seeing other listings that are more complete than this, and that the listings that have more accessories to the figure. So now when I'm going back through the smaller bins and I'm getting to the bottoms and I'm picking out these accessories, stuff is standing out to me. And I found this little piece It's just this gray little wire thing, which looks like it could go to anything. But what it is it attaches over his shoulders. Oh, actually, I don't have a picture of it attached. But, like, he's wearing a backpack that has two pegs on it. And each one of the little, the ends of each one of the hoses clicks into the backpack. And then the front part is like a mouthpiece. So I added that to the listing, took a couple new pictures. And just by adding that one little accessory, it increased the price, the value of this thing, from $63.99 up to $87.99.
Wow.
Just because I found this little piece of, like, what looks like wire, but it's a plastic little piece of tubing. Isn't that crazy?
And you were able to, what, Google images it? And just like
at that point, I didn't have to because I'd done the research on the figure on the left, originally. I knew at that point what the accessories were. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he has like green, like a green gun and another green accessory. I was looking for those. If you can get this guy complete, he's over $100 easily.
Yeah, accessories are so interesting. I actually got some toys this week and
night and day.
There was a couple things on there that, you know, I go, oh, wow, I can't believe this thing is still here. Or, oh, man, I wish any of these came with anything on them.
Right. Okay. Yeah, definitely keep an eye out for accessories. I think we're going to talk about it during your toy pickup because I've got a couple extra things to add to that.
Oh, nice.
So let's get to your GST. I'm done with my time. Let's go to some GST.
Pee-wee's got to get to work. That's what
that is. Let's keep moving.
GST, garage sale talk time, Goodwill scores talk. Whatever you want to call it, this one, me and Pee-wee, I almost called you Paul. Me and Paul about the stuff that we found this week at garage sales. And we do this to learn from each other, to see what's valuable, learn about stuff that we don't know, and hopefully you guys can learn some stuff along the way as well. I got 8 things for you, Pee-wee, which is way better than my 0 from last week. And I'm going to start with Goodwill stuff that I found, and then I'll do garage sale stuff. So first things first, Goodwill. You know I'm going to start with clothes, as I always do. I got a bunch of clothes this week. I might even share some of them next week, depending on whether I make it out to looking for stuff at garage sales and whatever. But I just thought a couple things here stuck out. First and foremost, this MGM Grand Hotel vintage T-shirt that I found. This is a single-stitch shirt.
That's cool.
It's yellow. It's brown and yellow. It looks black and yellow in the pictures, but it's brown and yellow, the sleeves and the neck or whatever. But it is just a cool, I don't know if this is from the 70s or 80s.
It looks like it, right? It's got the old school, like not even the MGM lion. It's just got a lion sitting there.
Yeah, the style of it is very...
The sleeves are very, like, different.
Yeah. I found this thing for $4.99, and I have not been able to find any information on this type of shirt. I couldn't find another one that looked like it. I used eBay's picture scanner thing. I used Google Lens. I couldn't really find anything. And I like it a lot.
Yeah, same.
It is on this old tag. It says Design West tag. I couldn't even find stuff on that Design West, but I know this is old. I know it's single stitch. It definitely isn't something newer to make look like old. So I just priced it around $50. I'm sure it'll probably go for $20, $30, right around there. But it is getting some interest, which is a good thing. So I bought it for $4.99, and we'll see what comes of it.
That's cool.
Next up is another T-shirt that I found. This was actually the last thing I found on Friday, which was the last day that I went out to garage sales this weekend. This is a T-shirt I paid $4.99 for. It is a bunch of green skulls on a shirt. Oh, but wow. I've seen this shirt before. If you do enough digging in the clothes world, you know what this is, and I took a look at the tag, and it was exactly what I thought it was, which is a liquid blue tag, and it's a 2XL, which is a decent size. I don't know. Some people say big sizes, it's harder to sell because obviously not as many people are wearing, you know, 2, 3, 4XL, but also you could charge more because there's not as many of them available. So I don't know where you fall on that, but 2XL is a pretty good size. And this is a $100 shirt, easy. Wow. So $4.99 into about $100. As soon as I list this thing, it's in great condition. It's got that great liquid blue. There are some of them that sell for cheaper. Somebody even sells these, actually. They just print them up and sell them just the design, and it's on like a regular T-shirt brand.
Fantastic.
Because that's how much, like, how well known of a shirt it is.
That's interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that on eBay. There's a lot of people who print up shirts of bands that no longer exist, and the bands don't get the money, and these people are making money off of these bands. But people who know and who are looking for this know what to look for to make sure that it is a real vintage shirt. $5 into 100, that's a great way to end my Friday. Next up, I have some shoes. This is how you want every sale to go, all right? I found these Adidas powerlifting shoes. No, Pee-wee, I know what you're going to say. They're not from my personal collection.
You already have a pair.
Yeah, I got all kinds of different colors. But yeah, these shoes were in great condition. They're the Adidas Powerlift. This is a generally like $30 to $35 shoe plus shipping.
Okay.
I did a little bit of research looking at the sold comps. I noticed that there were none in, it's a size 10.5. There were no 10.5s available on eBay. But when you looked at the sold comps, there was like 3 10.5s that have sold, because 10.5 is a common shoe size. So I said, you know what? I'm going to price these a little bit higher and see what happens. So I started them at $45 plus shipping, and they sold within like 3 hours.
Wow.
I'm like, maybe I could have even gotten a little bit more for these. But that's another way to look at sold comps when you're looking at things. Since we're talking about sold comps today, when you're dealing with clothes, you have different sizes, shoes, you got different shoe sizes and that kind of stuff. So it really does depend.
It's the same as like condition. Like the whatever your item is, there might be a bunch of them on eBay, but is it in the same condition? Is it the same size? Does it include all the different accessories or add-ons or whatever? If it doesn't, it's not the same item, and you cannot price match that.
Yeah,
it might be higher or lower because it's two different items.
Scratched off in a lot of areas. How bad does it look?
Yeah, condition absolutely plays into your where you should price your stuff.
So yeah, I loved this item because purchased, listed, which by the way, I listed as much this week as I did in all of the last month. So that's a good sign.
That's good. I mean, for me.
It's still not a lot, but at least it's getting going or
step
whatever.
Step in the right direction.
But yeah, and they sold in a couple hours, so that's gotta love that. And then the last thing that I found at Goodwill, which Pee-wee, you know the things that I have. I sent you the pictures, but you don't know which one of them I purchased at Goodwill. I think I might shock you a little bit with this one.
Okay.
He-Man, Masters of the Universe 1981 figures.
That would have been my guess only because of the price.
Oh, yeah.
The price is $6.95. I doubt that was a garage sale price.
Yeah, it would be great, and my next garage sale will only be pricing like this. Yes. 99 cents each figure, except for the He-Man figure, because it was in the ship that it's in, which was $2.99, He-Man included.
Wow.
So I don't know where they got these prices from, but the crazy part is I almost missed this.
Oh, no.
I don't really search toys too detailed anymore. Because I never find toys at either of the main Goodwills that I go to. And so I was going and I was kind of looking and I was standing there. And really what I was doing was I was waiting because there was a lot of people in the aisle that I wanted to go to. And I was like, well, let me take a little closer look while I'm over here. And so I'm standing and I'm looking around and I'm like, no Fireball Island, no monster baseball bats, whatever those things are called.
Yeah, right.
No, you know what I mean? Just looking for the little obvious things. And then I look at the shelf directly in front of me, and these things are sitting right there. And I can't believe somebody didn't, like, shove me over and take them. Not that they're, like, you know, super expensive by any means, but this is not the kind of stuff that I find in the toy aisle ever.
Right.
So what we have here, we have 5 figures and one Talon Fighter. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's the Point Dread Talon Fighter.
Okay. So as far as the figures, 3 of them are soft head figures and 2 of them are not. That's something I learned from you, those words.
Soft head's more of a turtle thing. I mean, they do kind of applies to He-Man. He-Man has other stuff that applies.
It was literally, I like held the figure and I like squished his head and I was like, oh, this must be what Pee-wee's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, but all the He-Man figures, I think almost all of them have soft heads, at least the early ones.
Yeah, those two at the top, the... I don't know what they're called. The Cyclops-looking guy.
Yeah,
and the
Trapjaw, I don't remember the other guy's name.
Yeah, Metal Arm, I think.
That's Trepjaw. The other one I don't remember. The Cyclops guy, I don't know his name.
Turnhead, I think.
Perfect. Perfect.
Those two guys, not soft heads. But anyway, so like I said, $6.95 for all of it. Those two figures that we don't know the names are, they're like $5 plus shipping figures. Not much there. The He-Man just has the chest shield thing. That's the only accessory that armor, he has. But that's about a $25 figure.
So there is more stuff you can look into on this.
Okay, I was going to ask you because I also don't know about this stuff.
Right.
So
question number one is you need to find out the years on each one of these.
81.
Oh, all of them are 81. That's good.
All of them, yeah.
I also include the COO, which stands for the country of origin.
Okay.
So it'll also say near the stamp that has the year, it'll usually say like Taiwan or... What are the other popular? Taiwan's the most popular one, but some are more rare than other ones. When you find them, include that in your search when you're trying to gauge the value. The He-Man armor, that piece that you're talking about, your Man-at-Arms also has an arm accessories and a leg accessory. That's not going to get you a ton of money. I don't think there's any variants in those that are worth more. The armor on He-Man, if you turn it around on the back, the part that like. It's not a zipper, but like the, you know, the part that like clips in that you can like the adjustable part. If those, if the ledges that it clips onto is on a shorter strap versus a longer strap, and you have to see a picture, you have to find a picture of long strap versus shorter strap, but the shorter strap is worth more because that's from the first release. Imagine trying to clip this thing. When they first came out, the straps were real short. And the I don't know if you've ever tried to, like, undo a He-Man armor, but, like, it's already tricky to do if you have a long strap. If they're short, you can barely grab it, like, you can barely pinch it with your fingers and pull it through. So they tried to fix that by making the strap a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, I've been having that problem since I was, like, 16, 17. But,
right, correct.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I don't know off the top of my head.
No, I know. I'm not saying you would, but I'm saying it's something to look at.
Yeah.
You've got some of your Skeletor, too, and your Skeletor has no accessories. Skeletor has, there's a ton of variants on Skeletor. A lot are in his face. He either has like peach cheeks or no peach cheeks. And but it just means like, does he have any pink in there or not? It looks like yours does not, but I don't have a close up picture. Do you notice anything else weird about your figure?
I'm a little overweight. I don't know.
Here's another one. So this is not your figure, but it's the same variant.
Okay.
The boots. You have a half boot Skeletor, meaning that only the front half of his boot is painted. Right. You can see it clearer on this picture on this other listing. The back half is the same color as his skin. The front half is that dark purple. It's not a huge, huge difference. You can also see on this one's face, like it has a little more pink back here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it has pinks on like the cheeks and whatever. But looking at the boots here, the value does fluctuate a bit. Here's two different Skeletors. One is just a regular boot Skeletor, and it sold for $13 free shipping, versus a half boot. Same condition, and it sold for $20 plus shipping. So it's, more than a $10 difference, yeah.
All right.
It varies. Like, none of these are going to be a home run. Your biggest money is going to be if you have the accessories.
Yeah, and so when I picked these up, in my mind, I was looking for accessories around them. That's, like, the main thing that I was kind of looking for, because just in general, I feel like that's what I should be looking for even more than the figures.
Sure.
But for 99 cents, I was like, I'm going to get these things, and I know I'm going to make a couple bucks on this. I don't think it's a like home run, like you said. And then even with the ship thing, I was looking at it, and I was like, well, I can tell that there's some stuff missing. As I was in line, I realized how much is missing. Like, there's a perch that this thing is supposed to be sitting
like
on top
green
of.
Thing, yeah.
There's two, like, wings on there. That's what I noticed originally.
Doesn't
you could
matter.
Tell
you have
slots.
It has the satellite that attaches to the top. Like,
and that's the thing. When I was looking, it was, like, the satellite was kind of the bigger money item of it. It's a $17 satellite. And even the talons on the thing that come off are, like, $13, $14.
So the reason that just to give you an idea of, like, how this stuff accumulates value, the satellite is the smallest piece. So it's the one that gets lost the most.
Yeah, I can't believe it's on there.
Right, like, exactly. The wings.
If the wings are gone.
So the reason that the wings are worth money is because they're like far out from the center of this thing, meaning when kids are flying this around, they bump it into the wall and one of the wings hits the wall and it pops off and it breaks. So if you have a good wing that you can replace somebody's broken wing with, it's worth money.
Yeah, and even the canopy is worth a couple bucks here. Like you're saying, like nothing is like a massive.
It's a great pickup for
thing,
seven
for
bucks.
Six, 7 bucks, and the fact that I never find toys, I was happy with it.
No, you're in very good shape here.
Now we move on to my garage sale finds. I'm going to start with the smaller items, and then I'll finish with what was my biggest find for the week. First and foremost, new inbox Polaroid under cabinet 7-inch radio and TV. This is one of those items that you keep in your kitchen. You can watch shows. You can whatever. Put music on. There's a radio. They don't sell a ton. The Sony ones are good. It's brand new in the box. Wow. Never been used. And I saw it, and that's why I looked it up.
Yeah.
I've actually sold used Sony ones like this without the TV screen. And even the remotes for that stuff is pretty good. But this, because it was brand new, I even kind of opened it because it's not sealed.
Okay.
There is no seal. It's just you kind of open it and you can tell that it's never been taken out of the thing. It's still in its cellophane or whatever. I don't know, styrofoam thing. But yeah, this thing goes for, I think it goes for around like 40, 50 bucks plus shipping. And it might sit for a little while, but there are sold comps. The one that I put up there, they were asking $85, and they took the best offer. I don't know what it is, but there are a couple other ones that were on there that were in this condition around 40, 50 bucks there. So not too bad, $10 item. Next up was some IBM typewriter ribbons. You know I'm a typewriter guy, Pee-wee.
I don't even know what these are.
IBM 1299508. These go in the typewriter. It's like the ink for the typewriter, basically. Okay. Anytime you see any of these things in these old IBM packages that haven't been used, pick them up because people will sell them for a dollar. This one, they were selling them for a dollar a piece, so I paid $4 for them. In that little white sticker on each box, it says on eBay for $15. Like they did research on them.
And
it has nothing to do with like me purchasing them. I just know from buying enough typewriters that, and I've sold these before.
That's funny.
So I picked these up for $4. I'm going to lot them up in one thing and they'll probably sell for 40 to 50 bucks. I mean, it's just nice, light, easy. Love this stuff. It was funny. There was like three women at this garage sale and one of them took the money from me and gave it to another woman. And she goes, "Wait, what did you sell?" And she looked, and I kind of like stopped and was holding these things up so she could see. And she goes, "Oh my God, my husband said I would not sell those." And she, like, they all erupted. Like, they were so excited.
That's awesome.
Because the husband was like, "No one's going to buy this crap." And I was like, "Does he have any more stuff that he doesn't think is going to be sold?
Smart.
Like, I'll buy it all." And
I like that.
And we had a good time. But yeah, $4 into 50. Next up, I have DVDs. We're going back to media. This is an interesting one, and I'll tell you why. I would not pick these up if they were a couple things. One, most of these are wrapped, still brand new in their original Best Buy, whatever.
Okay.
This is Big Bang Theory. Not a show that is super valuable on DVD, even though it's a very popular show. It's like $45, $50 for the complete set of these things, and that's all for $50. You get everything in one, like,
oh yeah, one compact little set. Yeah.
So it takes the right person to buy individual ones. Some people like collecting them that way better. But here's why I bought them. This guy was selling all of his DVDs. He wanted 50 cents per DVD or 3 for $1. So we're talking 33 cents.
Oh, including the seasons. Okay.
Including the seasons.
Wow.
Now, if they were the seasons and they were opened, I might have still passed on these things, even though they were so cheap, just because I didn't want to deal with them. And there's 12 seasons of Big Bang Theory, so it like takes a while to find those later ones. But as I was going through them, I realized that... So I purchased seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. 7 was missing.
Okay.
And then 12. And then I purchased Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield. That's just a bonus for me.
Let's go.
So I paid $3 for all 9 DVDs that I got here. But the ones that have some sort of value are the ones that are still sealed. So 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8. 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8. They're like, you know, $7 to $10 a piece, free shipping. So it's not really good money, and I don't want to spend time listing them individually. But because they were brand new, I was like, I will just lot them up, and I'll sell them for like $30 for all of them. I mean, I'm paying $1, $2 for these things. But the big one was the last season, the final season, which I might have picked up even if it was open. But it was also sealed, and that's the hardest one to find. And it was Blu-ray.
I see.
And this one by itself goes for $27.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So it was no brainer, very easy. Talked to the guy. We made some VHS jokes. We all had a good time.
Jeez,
the last thing that I found was
too
actually
much time on jokes.
No, I don't spend enough time on jokes. Anyway, that's a different podcast. Anyway, my last one for the day here: estate sale. Estate sale, Pee-wee. So I left my house and I passed by the streets that I always do, and I was going to go garage sailing. I was actually headed to a town that is really where I purchased the rest of my garage sale stuff. Okay. That's where I was headed. As I left, I got to a street that I have to get to turn left to go onto a busy street by my house. But it was a busy street. There were cars coming both ways. I looked to my right, and I realized there was a sign for something, and it was bright yellow. And I was like, oh, that must be a garage sale. I'm going to turn around. The crazy part is that garage sale, I had already passed that street just on the other, like down the street.
Okay.
So they didn't put a sign on the other side of the street. They only had one sign from like the busier road.
Oh, wow.
But they were missing out on a ton from the other side. So anyway, I was like, that's great. As I got closer, I realized it was an estate sale and it's run by like regular people. And I was like, okay, this could be something. And it's Friday. It's early. This was not on any of the apps, which is huge.
Yeah.
So I was very excited to go there. I go, I walk in, and I see a bunch of stuff that is high priced, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Here we go. Whatever. I start walking. I don't even get 10 feet in, and I find the love of my life, Pee-wee. I find the Magnavox DV225 MG9 DVD VHS combo.
I thought it was a bowling ball.
And not only that, brand new in box, sealed.
Oh, okay, so the picture that you sent me, is there two?
Yep, there's two, Pee-wee.
Whoa.
I purchased two DVD VCR combos from the same estate sale as my first items of the day at the first sale that I went to. So the first one that I saw is that bottom one that's in the box, it's sealed, $30, brand new, perfect. Goes for $250 plus shipping. It's a $300 item. I paid $30. The top one was in the person, like, where their TV was. Like, the person, I assume, had passed or something. And this thing is in perfect condition. Works. Has the remote. Has the manual. Everything included. And this person's house was, like, super organized. They had boxes from everything that they had purchased in their basement lined up, just empty boxes of everything. I got really excited because I went down there and there was so much stuff in boxes, and then they were all empty boxes, so I was like,
oh, no.
But nonetheless, I got these two things, so I paid $45. That top one used is a $120 to $150 model, the Toshiba, I think I have it, VR620KU. So I left there with those two items. Nothing else there that really... There was a lot of furniture. There was a lot of art. There was some cool like NBA pin sets and old Chicago Bulls hats, but they knew what they had and they were way too expensive. Clothes I went through. There were some sweatshirts and stuff, but there was nothing there that really caught my eye. There was no toys. There was some Christmas stuff, but I didn't really want to go through Christmas stuff. That's probably on me. But yeah, I was really excited. So $45, the two of these, I'm going to sell these for probably around $400, $450, right around there. It'll probably be around $250 profit afterwards. And I, No joke, I went home because that's how close I was. I was a block and a half from my house. Uh-huh. And I was like, maybe I just stay home and list today. Yeah, because, you know, what else am I going to do? And then I ended up going out and getting the typewriter ribbons and the DVDs and the cabinet thing. And then I found that shirt and the He-Man. I mean, all that stuff was on Friday. So it was like literally everything came on Friday.
I think you went back out. Okay.
Yeah, and so that's it for me for GST. Way better than last week, I think.
You're back. There we go. We're on the right
track. I'm not back. You know what? I wasn't having a good time. I still wasn't having a good time.
Oh, no. The motivation's still gone?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, we're on the track to redemption here, at least.
Yeah, it helped. It definitely helped finding stuff, but I was still kind of like, well, maybe you could just go home.
All right. Yeah. The good thing is you didn't. Like I said, I didn't have a great week, but I also wasn't like... trying that hard. I didn't have the option. I was out. It was raining Thursday. I went out Friday a little bit, and then the rest of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday I was out of town, so I couldn't garage sale. The only garage sale pickup I have was from Friday, obviously. I went to a sale, and what happened here? You know what? I think I went out Thursday morning, like after the rain was going, like coming and going. But like, there were three sales in the app, and two of them were already closed. And it was like 10:30. They just weren't even trying because it was raining. But still, I've got nothing else to do at this point. All right, let's go try the third one. I go there. They're open. They don't have anything. I ask my questions, and the lady says, maybe come back tomorrow. My sister's gonna be here. Maybe she'll bring something." Okay, sure. So then I get to Friday morning, and it's more the same thing. There weren't a lot of sales on Friday morning, even though it wasn't raining now. And I'm like, okay, well, I might as well go back and see that other sale before I've got to get on the road and start this crazy weekend. So I went back there, and the sister did bring stuff. She had – I'm trying to figure out if I missed anything. Because the selection of stuff that she had a video game box. That was just out. It wasn't like me asking for anything. It was just like stuff that was in the box. It was already priced. There was two PS2 controllers. There was a couple Wii controllers. There was a handful of Wii games. There was some PS2 games. And there was one GameCube game. So like, there's one GameCube game. Were there more GameCube games? But if there were more GameCube games, why wouldn't they pick out this other? Here's what I picked up. Right, I just picked up two games. I picked up Medal of Honor European Assault on the GameCube. I grabbed the one GameCube game that had a $5 sticker on it. And then the confusing part to me was that Wii Sports was still in there. And it didn't have a price on it. But if Wii Sports is in there, that's like your easy pickup. I feel like most flippers know to pick up Wii Sports because it's an easy $20-$25 bucks. And you can usually get it for a dollar. So I don't know. I didn't ask. I was in a rush. I had to get on the road soon, so I wasn't like. And it was I knew it was the sister's stuff, so I knew it wasn't her house. Pricing wise, she had a $5 sticker on the GameCube game, and she had no sticker on the Wii Sports. The GameCube game isn't worth much. It's worth like $15, maybe plus shipping, but probably just $15 even. And they wanted $5 for it. My thing was, it's a clean GameCube case. So even if I don't want to put that game in it, I will get a game down the line, or I might even have one now, that has a case that has too many stickers on it. And I don't want to deal with the stickers. I would much rather just take that art out, flip it out for another one, and a better game, and then deal with, you know, finding a case for this one later. Either way, I just grabbed the GameCube game. I grabbed the Wii Sports and said, hey, would you take $5 for both? So basically, just, hey, would you throw in the Wii Sports? And she said, sure. So like I said, the Medal of Honor European Assault on the GameCube is worth about $15, and Wii Sports is like $20-$25. So $5 for that was fine for my only garage sale pickup, but it was very much a lackluster start to the week. You mentioned Whatnot earlier.
You're selling clothes now?
No. I'm not selling on Whatnot, but I will jump on Whatnot occasionally, very, very rarely and occasionally, to buy stuff. My friend was selling stuff. And I was just like in his stream to like support him and like just get in the chat and like get people up and see what was happening. And he had he put this for sale. This was I'm speaking of your haul. This is a Masters of the Universe. It's a He-Man pterodactyl. This is one of the rarer dinosaurs from He-Man. The more common but still expensive ones are the green Triceratops and the purple T-Rex. There might be one more. But this is a brown and green pterodactyl. And this one was rare. It's at the time, I just don't think it sold as well. The kids wanted the big Triceratops, or they wanted the tall T-Rex that had the thing that came out of its stomach. They weren't buying a ton of these. Not a pterodactyl. It's called a turbodactyl in the Masters Universe world. But the other problem with this thing is that it's very fragile. The head specifically, it has a hinge in the back, and this whole headpiece like flips up and down like the mouth opens. But the top of the headpiece, the bottom part's all plastic and solid. The top part that like flaps open and close is like, it's not ceramic, but it's like a much cheaper plastic, and it chips real easy. So finding a good one, if you can find this turbodactyl in complete condition with a head that is in very good condition and still attached, I've got a sold listing here where the sold listing even says in the picture, jaw hinge is unbroken, and it sold for $250 plus shipping.
Wow.
Now, this one is broken. I was able to pick it up for cheap because it's Whatnot, and nobody buys stuff on Whatnot, even though this guy even like my whole theory on Whatnot is you need a following to be able to sell on Whatnot, so you have a lot of people competing for the same item. This guy has a following. He has like a big YouTube channel. It's about toys. It didn't make sense to me why his stuff was going for so low, but once it started going for low, I'm like, okay, I'm going to bid a little bit. I'm going to get in and see if I can find some deals. And it's not like I'm messing with him. I'm paying, and he's getting more if I'm winning versus if I'm not bidding at all. Because if I won this piece for $35, right? The one with the broken head, the head is completely off. It's chipped. But if I don't win it at 35, if I don't bid, the person at 33 or 32 or whatever it was, he's going to win, and my guy's going to get even less. So my guy wants to sell this. He's getting more money, and he was more than happy for it to go to me. Now, the condition I have, even though I got it for $35, isn't the $250 that I was talking about earlier. With the broken head, the body usually goes for about $40 without the wings. You can detach the wings, and each wing is worth about $20, right? So if you keep them together, you're at $40 plus the body at $40. And then the head, depending on how much you have of it, like in the picture that I had here, you can still put the head on. It doesn't look great, but it's still on. Different versions of the head, depending on the amounts of chipping, can go for like $30 to $50. So in total, I mean, this thing's going to be worth about $100. I probably won't piece it out. I'll probably see if anybody wants it as it is with the whole thing together, just to make it easier on me. But this just goes to show, like, Whatnot is a buyer's market. There is stuff out there that you can absolutely get deals on. It's at this point, I think it's very simple.
How big is this thing? Because I know the size of the other dinosaurs you're talking about, they're not very big at all. But this thing looks like it's the size of a Miata.
Oh, no. It's like, it's probably like 12 inches long, like from head to tail, and then like 14 inches wing to wing. Something
like
that.
Like a Miata.
Like just pretty like similar. A Miata. You got it. Yeah. My other two pickups are from today. After the end of our trip, we went to Freak Toys in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. I'll give them a little plug. Great toy store. It's huge. It's in the middle of Sheboygan. It's very much out of the way from where I was going. It was, I think, 45 minutes. It added 45 minutes to our trip to get there, and then another 45 minutes to get back on track. So an hour and a half out of the way. But it's totally worth it. Worth it in terms of, like, I enjoy vintage toys. My kid enjoys vintage toys. But also, I've been there so much that they very much take care of me and anyone I bring there. They offered, when I saw them Saturday night, last night? Yeah, I saw them last night, and I talked about coming into the store today, and they asked if I wanted to come in early before the store opened. They said they would open it early for me so we could have the whole store to ourselves. Very, very nice, and which we did that. And then, more importantly, they allowed us to go into their basement. The basement is where, like the upstairs, the regular like first floor of the store is just like a regular toy shop, shelves and like nice cases, and just it's a small store like side to side, but front to back it is very big. It's one of the biggest stores I've ever been to. And the upstairs is very like organized and it looks nice, and the prices are still good. Like they're still competitive prices. They're not like overcharging like a lot of stores do. And then you get to the basement and it's the opposite. Nothing is priced. So anything you do find, you do need to bring upstairs to have them take a look at. But everything's unorganized. Everything's in bins. They have like the turtle section, but that just means one shelf has like, it was so funny. They have bins of like all the, like the collection that I got last week or the week before that was like 15 Michelangelos. They have a bin of all different Michelangelos. They have a bin of all Donatellos. They have a Ziploc bag of all the Leatherheads. They have shredders in all the, like in different Ziploc bags. And then you go to the Motu section and they had like each one of your five guys were in their own individual like gallon size bag with like 12 of them in there. And it's just their back stock for when they sell the thing that's on the floor that they need to can now come downstairs and restock the shelves with. So we dig around down there. That's the fun part, right? The part that hasn't been, we don't know if we're getting deals on anything, but again, it hasn't been priced. And so they haven't spent a ton of time and they like us. So they do try to cut us some deals. I found a couple interesting things. The first thing, it's more of a me thing, but I think it's worth money, even though I have no sold proof on that. Take a look at this. This is a wrestler figure. It's about like 4 inches tall. It's a guy in a red like tank top with green trunks and wrestling boots. His hair is in a bun. I couldn't find another one of these online anywhere. I found similar ones from the same company. The company is called Simba. It's a Simba Wrestling Champions. One recently sold from Australia for like $43 plus shipping, but that's from Australia. I paid $15. And I just thought it was a cool piece. Because, do you know what this is based off of? Like, this is a knockoff wrestling figure. Do you know what the
it's, I mean, is it a Hasbro?
It's the size of a Hasbro.
Okay.
So, it's the Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, the Hogan is, this is the same Hogan that I found last week. I literally pulled it out of my shelf. It was in that big toy haul. His arm is broken. A good Hogan is worth $10, right? Because it's just such a common figure. This bootleg is probably worth like $30 or $40, if not more. Here's a comparison of the two together, just to show like their stances and their like physiques are almost identical. Their hands are identical. Their movements are identical. The Hogan has like an automatic movement. This guy is articulated, but his arms don't move together. It's not like that body slam movement. You literally just like twist his arm and it stays wherever you put it. I don't know. I like bootleg stuff. I've talked about it before. It can be worth money. In this case, I mean, like I said, the Hogan, the actual figure is worth like $10. And then the bootleg, I think I can get like $30 to $50 for it.
No, it's cool. Especially like we're wrestling fans or whatever you want to call it. First, when I saw it, I thought it might be like the Ultimate Warrior figure.
It's similar. He has a similar pose.
Okay. And then it reminded me of Psycho Sid, but sure. It also kind of looks like Brock Lesnar in the face.
That's
but
exactly
not the
what
rest
we said. Yeah. We said Brock when we were there.
Yeah. That's so funny. If you're a wrestling fan, it's kind of an interesting thing to look and see, you know, what somebody made it after.
Yeah. So this was one of the items that, like, I brought upstairs and said, hey, how much do you want for this? And they just said, I can find no information on this. How about $15? And I said, sure. So just because bootleg stuff I'm more willing to take a shot on. Other stuff I'm willing to take a shot on is video game stuff. They had in their basement, they have a ton of video games. Just like it's a video game store just as much as a toy store. And one of the boxes that they had in that basement was a box full of like Game Boy boxes. Game Boy and Game Boy Advance boxes. So I dug through there and pulled out three of them and brought them upstairs to have them price them just to see where they would be at on them. The three I got were two GBA, Game Boy Advance games, Advance Wars and Street Fighter Alpha 3, and then one Game Boy game, which was Ultima Ruins of Virtue. Like I said, these are just, they're not just boxes. They do have all the manuals, all of the inserts, all the paperwork on the inside. The thing they're missing is the game. The Advance Wars, so finding sold listings for these can be tricky. Usually when I get this kind of stuff, because it does sell at conventions for me. People have bought the cartridges, and then after you complete your set on the cartridge, where you get happy with and content with your collection as it is with cartridges, well, now you want to spruce it up a little bit and buy some boxes for the games that you've already bought. So people like buying empty boxes. The Advance Wars, there was a sold listing on eBay for just the box, the manual, and all the inserts, and it's worth about $40. The Street Fighter Alpha 3, there was no sold listing that had just the box, manual, and all the inserts. It only had the complete listings. The complete listings meaning the game plus all the cardboard, the boxes, the manuals, and all that stuff. So that one sold, the complete version of that sold for $90. The way I calculate my price now is I just take the sold listing of it complete minus the value of the game. The game's worth about $40, so the cardboard's worth about $50, right? So if I wanted to, I could just go out and buy the cartridge for $40, complete it, and now I've got the whole set is worth $90. The biggest one is this Ultima Ruins of Virtue. I actually have to look up how much the game is worth. I'm not sure. But the most recent sold listing was just for a complete one of these. This is the rarest game because there was very few even games of this. Like cartridges of this game were not very like abundant in eBay search sold searches. So what I had to do was search completed listing. And the only completed listing was a best offer. So I went to, what is that website? 130point.com. Right? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the one where you can go there. You can type in the title of the sold listing that you want to see what the best offer was accepted at. And somehow they're able to figure it out. A complete version of this game sold for $185. Just the cartridge. This is interesting. Just the cartridge goes for $25. Which is kind of what you want to hear. Yeah, right? With yeah. Street Fighter Alpha 3, the cartridge is worth a lot. $40 versus $90 complete. Right? Because it's a good game, people like fighting games, they like Street Fighter, blah, blah, blah. So it's a $40 cartridge. If you add the cardboard, it gets up to $90, meaning that the cardboard is worth about $50. The Ultima game, this Ruins of Virtue, the game is rare, but it's probably not a great game.
It sucks.
Right. So if you find just the cartridge, nobody really wants to play it, but it's rare and hard to find. And what's really, so therefore, what's really hard to find is the cardboard that came with it. So if you buy the $185, the best offer, you subtract the $25 for the cartridge, or if I want to buy a cartridge for this thing and complete it, it's $25, so this set is worth at least $160, $150, and I paid $60 total. I paid $20 per box.
So let me ask you, you're down there, you're going through the games. Are you looking through the games and picking out the ones that you think might have value just based on you knowing games? Or are you literally going through every box that they have and like checking prices?
I'm pulling out games that I want to look up. Like a lot of games, that a lot of boxes that they have are just junk, so I just skip them. And then the games that I think, I basically make a maybe pile. Okay, I need to look these up. Is it worth bringing these upstairs? It's real easy. Like they trust us so much, they just let us go in the basement by ourselves.
Your maybe pile, then you just go through every single one and kind of do your own thing.
Yeah. So I've got two maybe piles. I've got a maybe pile where I have to figure out, is it worth bringing upstairs? Like, if they give me a good price, do I want to buy this? And then that's the first maybe pile. So I whittle that down. And then I have to bring that whole pile upstairs because it's still a maybe based on how much they're going to charge me.
How many games did you pick out?
Everything I brought upstairs, I bought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and everything I picked out and looked up, I brought upstairs. It was there weren't a ton of stuff that was worth looking into. I kind of just cherry picked the best stuff, and then they were just very nice with the prices. All right, that's all I got for GST. All
right, I like it. That means it's time for our flip or bump of the week. This is either a favorite thing that we sold, or maybe something that we completely messed up on, and now we have to sell our homes because we are in such financial trouble. For me, flip. Thank God.
Hey.
Didn't want the other part. This is a flip. So I think it was last week when I didn't have anything at all in GST. And I think 2 weeks ago I had a DVD-VCR combo, a Magnavox, that I told you I'd picked this thing up. because I know I've sold it before, and even if it didn't work, I knew that there was still money in it, like that I could sell it. So I tested this thing out. It ate my Yakov Smirnoff VHS. Oh. Rest in peace, Yakov Smirnoff VHS. But I still ended up selling that DVD player for $60, even as a broken thing with a Yakov Smirnoff figure in it. That being said, that's not my flip of the week. But to get to that item, I had to take this lamp down that was in my way. And then I took the lamp down, I got the Magnavox, and I forgot to put the lamp back up. So it's just been sitting, like, on the floor waiting for me to put it back in the closet. And it's such an awkward-sized lamp. And then the next day, the lamp sold, which is great because it's been sitting.
Let's go.
I don't know. How long does it say? 224 on there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So since February, it's been sitting there. And this thing ended up selling. I paid $4.99 for this light. It's great. It's called an Ottlite, Ottlite. It's like a workstation desk lamp. It got an adjustable neck. It sold for $33.11 plus $27.28 shipping. So $60 for this thing. And I was just happy because I didn't have to put it back up on the shelf in like this weird
Congrats.
VCR section of my closet.
Hilarious.
What do you got, Pee-wee?
For me, I have something I picked up at the toy show a couple weeks ago when I brought my kid there. Again, it was for his birthday. I went into the whole Planet of the Apes thing. We saw the new Planet of the Apes on Thursday. He loved it. I thought it was good. Okay. One of the things I picked up at the toy show, only because I only knew the value of this thing because my kid was searching them out, and the one that we found was very underpriced, but he already had the figure. So I knew it was a deal when I saw the price for it. It was that Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Caesar figure that was in the package. They had a $25 sticker on it. I talked them down to $20. I thought it was worth $50 when I actually listed last week, I think. I listed it, did some more research, figured it out. I could list it higher, and it sold this week for $67 free shipping. So $20 into $67 for something I got at a toy show, like for somebody that should know the prices on their stuff. I was very happy with that flip.
And now it's time for well, what do we have here? This is when I pick something from Pee-wee store. He picks something from mine, and we ask questions. You, Pee-wee, you have this damaged Winnie the Pooh Honey of a Day musical Ferris wheel. You've got it up for $105.99. I think it's missing parts. It's damaged. You got this in the tchotchke aisle, but it is something that if it was complete, it would be worth a lot of money. I have zero interest in asking you about this item, except for the fact that I was wondering
you gonna make me an offer?
How long do you keep something like this in your store? Have you ever considered just getting rid of some of the stuff if you have it in for too long? Or is it just it's in your basement, it's on a shelf somewhere?
Out of mind. It's okay. Nope, I will get back to, once I start consistently listing again, I will get back to I'm not even lowering my prices at this point. I'm so busy with other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I used to lower my prices by 6% every month, and that helped stuff sell very, very quickly. I just haven't had time to do that. It takes probably like 2 hours to go through the whole store and do that. Mainly because I can bulk reduce everything by 6% in 2 minutes. The part that takes a long time is going back in, and 6% of this item is listed at $105.99. Take off 6%, it doesn't come out to 99 cents. Mm-hmm. So you have to go back in and manually type in 99 cents on my 800 items, and it takes forever. That's the part that takes a long time. So,
then if you're never going to get rid of anything, how do you deal with auditing anything to see if stuff is still on or if it's going to be taken off of eBay? You know, if it's been on for a couple of years, they automatically take stuff off.
Eventually, I go through it. I mean, I don't have a system to get to it, but eventually I do get through it, and I'll just take it shelf by shelf. I've done it once before. And a couple things that come off. I'm not too worried about it.
Okay. Yeah. Take care of your shelf. That's all I'm saying.
Will do. For you, I don't know. I saw this in your sold listings and I was confused. On May 3rd, you sold a lacrosse sleeveless yellow polo shirt for $22.99. And then on May 11th, you sold a yellow lacrosse sleeveless polo shirt for $22.99. Is this the same shirt?
First of all, it's Lacoste.
Lacoste, my bad.
Yeah. It's a very luxurious brand. Thank you very much.
Of course.
If you like luxury, check out my store. I actually had three of these yellow ones and one orange one.
Oh, my goodness.
I paid $4.99 for each one of them. They were all together at a Goodwill one day, and I know Lacoste is a good brand. I looked them up. I knew I could get around 22 plus shipping, which is good enough for me, especially I think this was over the winter sometime when I got these. I believe I am sold out. I might have one left, but I think there's a chance.
I may buy it from you. This looks like something I would wear to the gym.
They're, yeah, it's like a women's golf shirt almost.
I'm in.
But yeah, so that's about it.
All right, get us out of here.
Well, that's it for the show. You like this show, guys? Do you like this show? Well, then you can email us.
Text.
flipsandbumpspodcast@gmail.com. Oh, I'm sorry, Pee-wee. You got somewhere to be?
I'm just going to log off. Enjoy closing the show.
Follow us on Instagram at Flips and Bumps. Don't forget new episodes every single Monday morning. Flipsandbumps.com. YouTube, whatever, wherever you get your podcast from, and take a look at the episodes. Text us. Text us what you got. Whatever you feel like. You want to call us names? We accept. I want to see those texts flying in. I'm Sasha. He's Pee-wee. This is Flips and Bumps, and we will see you guys next week.
Flip that text? Turkey.